Across the Arctic, the Sahara, the Amazon, and the car park behind the local pub.
What's that, Skip? The chopper pilot sleeping with my wife.
It's an expedition for the strangest.
Fish are throwing up mice.
Cryptocurrency trading hamster.
I'd turn up to cockfights with an ostrich.
Most unbelievable.
Cicadas having massive sex parties.
Woman breastfeeds cat on flight.
Animal stories ever.
Bees chase a guy who jumps into the lake and then gets eaten by piranhas. Now, he may have pulled the wrong rein here.
It's time for Mick Molloy and Titus O'Reilly.
The shallow end of the pool.
Remember, always fact check what we say on this program.
To don their safari suits and pith helmets.
Lion.
Check.
Elephant.
Check.
African buffalo.
Don't be ridiculous.
This is...
Release the dash out.
Animal Bizarre.
G'day people, Mick Molloy here.
And Titus O'Reilly.
We're shining a light on some of the quirkiest stories from the world of the animal kingdom. We're fascinated by this. By no means do we consider ourselves experts in this field, but we have gathered over time a number of stories that make us laugh, particular to different species, countries, behaviours. The animal kingdom never lets you down. It's always throwing up something that you didn't know or you couldn't have anticipated. Is that fair?
Oh, constantly. And we were always shocked. Like when you've done radio, every week you had more of these to tell than you could fit in.
And people responded very well.
People love animals.
We like animals more than people, I think. And they make us laugh. They make us smile. They make us frightened on occasions. But generally, it's always interesting fare.
And can I say, Mick, we're very happy if people want to send in
that'd be great
crazy animal stories, whether it's stuff that's happened to them or like if you've seen it in the local paper.
That's right.
So are you going to
go first?
I think you should go first.
I'm going to take a look at this story. I think it's New York Times originally. And it makes me laugh because it concerns one of my favourite animals, the penguin. Now, the penguin I put on my list of comedy animals. You know, if you've got all the animals of the ark and you put them together,
yeah,
some of them are just funnier than others. And the penguin is right up there. It's a bird that can't fly. You had one job.
Yeah.
For a safari. You've got insanely small flippers.
The shuffling walk.
The waddle.
They look like they're in a tux.
The penguin waddle, they look like they're in a tux. And when I said they can't fly, the closest they get is, you know when they're being chased by a leopard seal?
Yeah.
And they have to get out of the water really quick. And just for about 3 seconds, with their little wings going like the clappers, they seem to get airborne.
But they also have this sort of mock. They kind of look like they're trying to be serious, but they're ridiculous looking.
So Arnhem Zoo have put their penguins inside because it's too cold. Do you see? Now, I just want to remind these penguins, you're penguins! You got one job.
Where is this again?
Don't get cold. Well, so let me read out the story. So it's the Burger Zoo. It's in Arnhem. It brought its population of black-footed penguins inside due to the persistent cold. As these penguins more naturally occur in South Africa and Namibia, they aren't as used to the current extreme winter weather in the Netherlands. Boo-hoo, you're a penguin.
You're a disgrace to penguins. You are a disgrace.
These penguins have had a shocker.
They're not used to the cold.
They're not used to the cold. So the 15 young, partnerless, not surprised.
Yeah, no one wants to pass these genes on, do they?
Have been born inside. What goes on there? What are you going to do next? Get them little cardigans? Little beanie?
So they're just like, it's too cold, I want to go inside.
That's right. Like,
you're a penguin.
We're freezing out here. Put your cardigan on. Little poncho. I want flu injections next. So, but similar to this, if I may continue. St. Louis, elderly zoo penguins with arthritis are now getting shoes to provide relief.
So these are arthritic penguins. What sort of penguins?
These are your stock standard.
Are the wintry ones.
These are the wintry ones.
These aren't going inside.
No, but they don't like it a bit rough underfoot. Well, so, no, it's arthritis because this one's 30 years old and generally they only live till about 10 in the wild.
Oh, so the fact that it hasn't got killed by a seal.
It still has outlived its...
Or an orca.
That's right. A leopard seal is what they're after. What kind of shoes would you get for a penguin? What would you do?
But well, they're sort of orthopedic, aren't they?
Air Jordans?
If penguins, if penguins are allowed to live long enough, a bit like humans, instead of being eaten by something, which we all were once,
sure,
you suddenly got walking frames and orthopedic shoes and all this sort of stuff.
It's a hint.
It's a hint that you shouldn't that be here anymore.
You're done.
You're done.
You're cooked.
So the penguins are going
hit
through
the showers.
Do you think like, the penguins that get old like this act like elderly people? They start worrying about things like parking and
writing letters to the editor.
Yeah,
they've been complaining. Temperature. Global warming.
Global warming is a. They think it's a sham.
That's why his feet sore. Ow, ow. It's like hot sand. It's like he's walking on hot sand. Ow, ow, ow.
Complain about your feet being sore. So that seems to be a universal thing of across species, no matter how old. If you get old,
you just complain.
You got sore feet.
Doc Martens, we'd have a little pair of Doc Martens, Air Jordans, or maybe Italian loafers.
I could see Crocs.
You know the worst thing about this? He's had to retire from the cast of Happy Feet. They're supposed to have happy feet. How can he soldier on?
He sees that as that film is directly mocking him.
That is, he can't watch it anymore. He storms out.
It's triggering.
Can I tell you a story? It's a true story that I did a gig once for the Thin Green Line, which basically for rangers all around the world, put themselves in very dangerous positions,
yeah,
and they do a lot of great work. They save whole species, and there'd be not a rhino left in the world today if it wasn't for these great people. And I did a gig, and he was telling me, I said, well, where do you range? He goes, I'm down at Phillip Island, which is in southern Australia, Victoria. They've got a colony of fairy penguins, yeah, which they parade every night. They come out of the ocean and onto land where they bed down for the evening.
And you can stream it on the internet if anyone
wants. You can stream it if you're a nerd. If you don't have a girlfriend, stream it on the internet. No, it's fun to watch.
It's a terrific parade. The floats and the balloons alone are worth it.
Over the top.
Sometimes it is a bit over the top.
But anyway, so he told me this story. It was just about to start. And he gets a phone call from this American guy who's in a car with his family on his way down Phillip Island.
Mm.
And he goes, hey, man, hey, we're running late. Can you hold the parade? We'll be there in half an hour. Like there's a start time, like the bells ring at a theatre show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They come out at the same time every night.
Like the ranger can contact the penguins and go, can you just stay out at sea? Because they're returning from fishing.
Yeah, that's right.
So they've been out of the ocean for hours fishing, and then they have to come back to where they nest.
What, just do a bit of circle work?
Yeah,
wait for the Americans to
like
arrive.
Like putting a plane in a holding pattern? If you could just stay out of them, we've got some American tourists running late.
And the only other zoo I can remember that had problems with their penguins was a Canadian zoo. They had a pair of gay penguins.
So, this was a big story, they got dragged into human,
absolutely,
the gay rights debate,
absolutely,
and it's like, they're penguins, guys.
They're penguins. They had gay penguins, and then the zookeepers were going to break them up and try and force them to
mate with
hers. And the gay community started picketing the zoo. And in the
end, love is love, Mick.
And in the, and in the end, they won. And it was like a victory for penguin.
It's for gay rights in penguins, yeah.
But I did think to myself at the time, I thought, and apparently this is quite common in the
penguin community.
So I was thinking, maybe that's why they waddle. I don't know. I mean, this is just the way my mind works sometimes.
No,
but you go, I'm putting the pieces together. And
well, yeah, no, it just shows you. It makes sense when you think about it.
The more you think about it.
I love that. I love humans projecting out
onto
animals on either way, because there were also people getting upset that these penguins were gay. So they were upset that they were, like, they took that. They're insulted by people who are gay, but they also can be upset by penguins.
It won't be far away before you'll see a penguin transitioning.
it's only a matter of time.
There was a case recently, the Colombian hippos, which were, of course, Escobars.
Yeah, Pablo Escobar.
I think they're trying to get them human status or something so that they can't be.
Oh, like human rights.
Like they can't be enclosed.
So a drug lord brings hippos to Colombia. Apparently they're thriving
because
there's
nuts.
No natural predator. In Colombia they shoot everything. Like why? Look, it can't be that hard to get rid of the hippos, right?
Yeah, well, they're trying to make them infertile. Their form of contraception for the hippos is them running around with a dart gun and shooting them in the ass.
If they look like they're about to have sex or just randomly?
I think just randomly. You wouldn't do it while they're having sex.
No, but you wait till it. So, what I'm imagining is two hippos are sort of getting to know each other, and just as they're about to get into the act, someone runs out of a bush and shoots them with a tranquilizer.
Picks one off.
Like a chaperone. And I just imagine that's someone's job.
Imagine if we did that. All right.
Imagine that.
I think I might get lucky tonight. Just sneak up on me, guys. Take me down. Drop me in the street. Like a sniper. Pick me off from the other side of the road.
Imagine that was your job, though. What do you do? Well, whenever a hippo is about to mate with another hippo, I shoot one of them with a tranquilizer.
Well, you know, the job of collecting semen from racehorses involves a guy still to this day who has to put on a crash helmet and literally get involved in there with a condom the size of a large sock or whatever and just get in amongst it. And, and they have died. It's quite a dangerous. I think Sir Tristram kicked two guys in the face. I mean, how would you go if you're having sex and you're on the bed and someone you've never seen before turns up and goes, don't mind me.
People have died doing this.
Sir Tristram,
and at the eulogy is someone getting up and going, he died doing what he loved.
What he wanted.
Getting a horse off.
Oh,
this is all he ever wanted.
So anyway, the penguins have got us off. Have you got a story you would like to?
I did. This was one of my favourites. I saw it was in the Washington Post in June 18, 2021. Tokyo, right? Often the headline of these animal stories is the best bit.
Is the best
just because it's just so.
No, it's just, it sets the tone.
It sets the tone. So the headline is Bear Storms Japanese Military Base, Injuring Four People.
See, you got me. I need to know more.
You need to know. A wild bear went on a rampage in the northern Japanese city of Sapporo on Friday. It stormed a Japanese military base, forced its way into an airport, and injured four people. So it's a wild brown bear. Apparently there's lots of these. And this happened on a Friday, and it captured the whole nation's attention during an eight-hour rampage.
It's a siege.
It's sort of like a Godzilla movie, but with a bear. The rampage was streamed online and broadcast on national news bulletins. So Japan just downed tools for the day to watch a bear rampage one of their cities.
That's got to be watched in real time. It's like the O.J. Simpson chase.
Yeah, exactly. It's more fun because it's a bear. The bear was spotted at 3:30 a.m. with additional sightings throughout the morning. So it kicks off early morning. It showed the bear scaling a face at the Sapporo Okadama Airport, a small airport that has flights all around this northern island of Hokkaido. So 8 flights at the airport had to be cancelled because there was a bear on the runway. 10 schools are closed because this bear is. The Hokkaido police put out a warning. If you find a bear, be careful to evacuate immediately.
Oh, well, there's some advice. I'm writing that down.
Yeah, because I would have confronted it. Two helicopters were called out to track the bear. It still took them 8 hours to find it. It's a master of camouflage.
Bear in the wild could be hard to find. Yeah, but a bear at an airport.
This gets more worrying as I read it. So, for example, the bear injured a woman in her 80s, a man in his 70s, a man in his 40s before attacking a soldier. So there were serious injuries to the man in his 40s. He was mauled while walking on the street. But
yeah, well. I mean, that's what bears do. You can't get angry at the bear.
Yeah, you can't. It's that man's fault.
Just out mauling. How was your day? I was out mauling.
He was warned to evacuate if he saw the bear.
Yeah, he should have watched the news reports.
So at one point it gets chased by a car. It was crossing a busy road. So it forced its way into the Ground Self-Defense Force Camps Okadama. So I got to say, the bear then knocked down a uniformed soldier who was on duty at the gate.
Has he snuck up on him or has the guy got a gun?
Soldier suffered cuts to his chest and stomach, but they weren't life threatening. Now, I've got to say, the bear then ran through the camp and onto the runway at the airport. So this is not really speaking well of Japan's military preparedness.
No.
If a bear can invade a military base, you would think
Incoming, it's a bear.
Japan's, you know, they're not far from North Korea. Yeah. North Korea is spending all this money on missiles.
Just release the bears.
Just buy a bear. Release one bear can run around for hours at a military base.
But there's an armed soldier who's come off second best.
Yeah, come off second best, but then it's gone through the base.
The Japanese military's had a shocker.
Shocker.
They've had a shocker.
Yeah. The bear preparedness level.
And is it real? Is it a riot? It's more like a bender for the bear. The bear's just gone rogue.
The bears just run through going around.
Do we know why it's there?
So eventually the bear escapes back into the forest, which at this point I would have gone, well, let it go. It's back where it needs to be.
It's over.
But instead the hunters find it and shoot it.
Seems.
The Sapporo City Public Relations Department tweets out, the brown bear that has infested the eastern ward was terminated, which seems harsh.
I'll tell you now. In a lot of these stories that we present, I do take the side of the animal.
Well, I do too.
Feels like the bear's
How's this for brutality? The local police tweeted out on Twitter that the bear had been killed and they put out an image of officials wrapping the animal in a blue sheet, which seems insensitive. That seems like you're just going to invite more bears to retaliate. And we know the military can't handle it.
That's
Japanese
right. It's already been stormed.
Do you really want to escalate the situation?
Is it like a body bag it's put it in? Big body bag.
One of the officials at the city's environmental department said the bear's presence in town was a surprise. And they were investigating. He said, we're sorry for the four people were injured. He said one of the thing they think is that the male was breeding season and was just looking for a female bear.
Your Honour? I should have contracepted him.
Yeah, that's right.
Shot him with a...
Yeah, the only way to stop a bear is another person with a bear. That's...
A bigger bear.
A bigger bear.
I love bears. Do you know, if I was an animal, I'd be a bear, I think.
Eat and sleep.
I sleep a lot. I'm pretty cranky when I wake up.
The one thing they say that this is happening more and more in Japan because they got a declining population, especially in rural areas.
Yes.
So there used to be a buffer between cities, then there would be farmland, and then there would be the bears. But because no one's living in the farms anymore,
the bears come into the farms.
And then they're right up next to the city, so they wander into the city to have a look. Mm. Which, you know, so I'm on the bear's side here.
Same here.
But I just love the idea that one bear is overrun a Japanese military base.
Oh, it's an invasion, I have to say. A man has reportedly died in Brazil after jumping into a lake to escape bees, only to drown and be eaten by piranhas. Now, this has got everything, this has. It's got a chase, starts with a big chase. Bees chase a guy who jumps into the lake and then gets eaten by piranhas. Now, he may have pulled the wrong rein here if the bees aren't deadly.
Do you have the feeling that the universe really wanted this guy?
He was cooked.
One way or another, this was his last day on Earth.
The 30-year-old was fishing with friends when he jumped into a farm lake in the municipality of Brasilia de Minas, according to the local fire department.
I like at the fire department.
What else are they doing? A firefighter who performed the rescue said the fish had disfigured the man's face and other parts of his body. His body was found 4 meters from the shore. That's probably like a natural death in that part of the world.
Yeah.
Not the old chased by bees into the Congo to be eaten by fish.
Was he allergic to bees? I'd say
he's not happy about it. He'd want to have some kind of reaction to the bees because you've made a dumb choice there.
What would make you jump in a piranha-infested lake? What would make what would you be trying to avoid? A geese?
By geese?
Yes. I could understand if it was a lion or it would be a jaguar.
Yeah,
it was a jaguar, but it's bees.
Can I get you?
How many bees, though?
Oh, I don't know. It's poor reporting, obviously, here. Bees, what's your take on bees?
Rubbish animal. Get rid of
them. They're always angry.
Oh,
why are they so angry?
Well, if you lived in a hive and you just had most of them are worker bees, right? So like,
there's only one chick.
There's
one chick and 1,000 guys. I think I can know where the anger's coming from. Yeah, let's go sting somewhere.
Even worse, there's one chick and you're basically born a worker bee.
That's so it.
That's
you're
all
told.
You got to do. You work and then you die.
Have
there's
a good
no,
day.
There's no women, no superannuation. No retirement plan.
You can't even get away
all the time. And then you make honey and you don't even
And you don't get to have it.
Other people
don't
take it.
Other people take it. You know what you do? You get together, mates, you go, let's go chase a guy into the river. All those in favour.
Let's go chase. It's time to chase another guy into the piranha-infested lake. Do you think it's a deal between the piranhas and the bees?
No, they've been herded in there. There'll be a little kickback.
There's
a kickback for the bees, I reckon. That has collusion written all over.
Oh, yeah.
But here's an interesting story with the bees. We're saying they don't live a great life. What about these particular bees that Mick Jagger used to put on his penis to sting it? No, don't. This is a true story. You think those bees had it hard?
Is this one of those feet?
No.
These stories we have to get the lawyers in on?
Mick Jagger? No, because it's written in a book. It's right. Published in a book. But Mick Jagger used to get bees and put them on his dick to sting him so it would get bigger.
See, this is – I worry about this because if you become truly famous and all your – in an early age, like Mick Jagger, all these desires you'd imagine sexually and money and financially and creatively were all met by the time he was about 24.
Yeah, he's bored.
So he's bored out of his brain.
I know what I'll
this
do.
This is the natural – I haven't had much fun stuff happen to me, so I'm not at this level yet, right?
Just a woman, years away from whopping bees on your dick.
Yeah, just, that's right. Just a woman's holding my hand is still a goal of mine. I'm so many levels. Do you know what he calls that?
It's
third base.
Mick Jagger puts bees on his dick. Makes you wonder what the Bee Gees were up to.
He was running away from a lake full of piranhas.
If you're going to be attacked and killed by an animal, which one would you prefer?
I want something that's going to kill me pretty quick.
Shark? Shark attack?
Maybe shark. Or a lion?
Not the king of the jungle.
I got to say, being eaten alive doesn't appeal to me. Is there a poisonous animal that can bite you and you go into a deep sleep or something? That would be good. Ooh. That would be sort of my preference. Being mauled alive, I'm not going
to... Not appealing?
Maybe for someone like Mick Jagger, that's the next step.
Being strangled by a snake.
Like a boa constrictor or something.
Constrictor?
Yeah, I'd like to be bitten by something that maybe something that's got a poison that makes you an intense feeling of euphoria before dying.
But it's not a thing to look forward to. It's your death.
No.
Crocodile?
Yeah, see, the crocodiles, they'll drag you under and then they'll twist you and drown you.
They'll leave you there in an underground cave for 3 days while you wake. You wake up in an underground cave going, great, I'm running out of oxygen.
It doesn't smell great.
This is annoying.
This is typical.
Yeah, he'll be back.
I shouldn't have ran away from those bees.
When the crocodile turns up, where have you been? Sitting here waiting to be eaten. I've always said with euthanasia, right. And can I say this? When it comes to euthanasia, I've always felt, and I'm respectful of it, and I think there's a place for it.
But
you need to make sure people are really into it, and then they've come to the decision.
They want to be certain.
They can choose when they die, but not the manner of their death. So you would go, all right, Mrs. Jenkins. Fantastic. We've penciled you in for next Thursday.
You've been approved.
Right. Next Thursday morning, we're going to see a shark attack, I'm afraid. Now she's got a choice.
Yeah.
Do you want to go through with this? If not, you're not ready.
The more horrendous it is. Can you have good ones, though, where it's like...
What's your best... How would you want to do it?
Something poisonous. Fast-acting poison.
Fast-acting poison. It'd be snake. It'd be one of those.
Snake.
Green mambas.
It bites you. You're dead before you really even know.
You're done. At my golf club, I've been nominated member most likely to be bitten by a snake because of all the amount of time I spend in the rough looking for my balls. Probably shark for me because it gives you the one chance to do what is considered to be the ultimate Australian thing you can do, which is punch a shark in the face.
Yeah, yeah. But
face.
Mick Fanning
did,
yeah.
That shark had a shocker too. It could have done a lot better.
Do you think other sharks tease that shark about it?
Yeah. He's gone back and gone, this reflects
this is very
on
emasculating.
Mate, you had one job. Go there, bite the surfer. And what's happened? He's punched you, now he's a hero.
A shark losing a human on land? No shame there. No shame for the shark there.
But in your own
that's a home ground. You're playing on your home ground and you lost.
Here's the other thing about sharks. Everyone punches in the face. I'd work the body. I'd go low. Really work the rib cage.
I can see you doing a real rope-a-dope strategy. This is one I've got. It's very similar to what you're talking about.
Okay.
How do you want to die, right?
Yeah.
So The headline, this is CNN. This is the 12th of June, 2021. It's a Cape Cod lobster diver eaten by whale spat out is the headline. Cape Cod lobster diver. He had a fluke encounter with a humpback whale. His name was Michael Packard, and he's diving off the coast of Provincetown in Massachusetts. He goes, I got down to about 45 feet of water, and all of a sudden I just felt this huge bump, and everything went dark.
Wow.
And I could sense that I was moving, and I was like, oh, my God, did I just get bit by a shark? Then I felt around, and I realized there were no teeth, and I'd felt really no great pain. And then I realized, oh, my God, I'm in a whale's mouth. I'm in a whale's mouth, and he's trying to swallow me. So he's literally in a whale's mouth, and he still has his breathing apparatus on, though, so he can breathe.
He's underwater?
Underwater. He's 45 feet of water. So he's underwater. He can breathe, and he realizes I'm literally in a whale's mouth.
Wow.
So one of the things that went through my mind was just, oh, my God, what if he does swallow me? And here I am. I'm breathing air, and I'm going to be in this whale's mouth until my air runs out. I thought to myself, okay, this is it. I'm going to die. And I thought about my kids and my wife. He said there's no way getting out of here. And he's in there for 30 seconds. He's thinking, this is not good. Like, the lights are out. He can't see. He's in a whale's mouth. He says the whale suddenly surfaced quickly and spat him out. He said all of a sudden he went up to the surface and just erupted and started shaking his head. I just got thrown in the air and landed in the water, and I was free, and I just floated there. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe I got out of that, and I'm here to tell it. Wow. So his crewmates then come over. They rush him to shore, take him to the nearest hospital, and all he's got is just bruising.
Story to tell.
A biologist who's the director of humpback whale studies nearby said it's an unusual encounter and most likely an accident.
You know what would be great? If there was a whale watching boat. Now, everyone, have a look over here, and you might see a humpback breach the surf. There it is. What the?
Just a scuba diver.
He's expelled.
That you'd be panicked in that moment.
You'd be taking care of your affairs, I would imagine, in that moment.
Being killed by a shark's impressive. Being killed by an animal that eats krill. It's not a good way to go.
Would you be a bit annoyed that...
It's like being eaten by a cow. Like, that is... It's like a cow kills you. It's not impressive.
You're saying the whale is the cow of the sea.
It is the cow of the sea, though.
Well, here's just my thing. If I can't understand what it would be like for that guy, but I would be a bit pissy I'd been rejected. I'd be like, ugh.
It tastes awful.
Oh, what?
It tastes awful.
Tastes like chicken, eh? What's your... The only way that story could be better if he, like, shot him out of the spout. You know, then I'm go, well, that's the best animal story.
Actually, I like your idea of the whale watching. I would have liked if he spat him out and he landed in a whale watcher's boat.
I'm going to say something controversial here. Whales, overrated.
As a species?
Well, you know what? We spend so much time with protecting the whale, looking at the whale, don't harpoon the whale.
Yeah.
But you go, there's loads of other animals. It's just sheerly because of their size.
Also,
they're the fatty boombas of the sea.
You got to ask, like, how much effort can we put into saving them if they won't save themselves?
That's it. So they're attention seekers
like
too.
It's too much.
Oh, my radar's out. So one go beach. They all just beach themselves. They're pulling the piss.
And to be honest, in my life, sometimes if I've had self-destructive behaviour, I've never had a group of whales rock up and go, "You all right, mate? Can we get you in a bed?"
Yeah, they're the cows of the oceans.
They're not saving us.
They're not saving us.
You're just they ones I'd like to return the favour.
we care so much. The minke whale, that's almost at plague proportion.
Well, your position on the minke whale as well, no, you're not a fan.
I'm not a fan. They've had it too good for too long.
I'm just glad there's someone out there willing to tackle them. Yeah, because they have. People just stick up for them.
This headline grabbed my attention over summer this year. Woman allegedly breastfeeds cat on Delta Airlines flight.
The word allegedly is doing a lot of
work. Yeah. So, you know, because she's obviously highly litigious. A woman on a recent Delta Airlines flight began to breastfeed her pet cat mid-flight and refused to stop refused to stop after getting caught.
Getting caught. There's no shame in it, Mick. I don't know what she's worried about.
The incident allegedly happened during a recent trip on board Delta Flight 1360, a route that travels between Syracuse, New York, and Atlanta, Georgia. An image was posted to social media that suggested that purported cat breastfeeding while the plane was heading towards Atlanta. The image quickly circulated.
Bet it did.
That'll be popping up in my feed any day soon. The message reports that a passenger in seat 13A, gee, you'd be shitty if you're in 13B.
Oh, yeah.
You know, normally the best interaction you have with the person next to you is a little argument over the arm divider. Move your elbow. Are you breastfeeding that cat?
But first they have a cat.
Well, I think it's a support cat. So I think this is part of this. Have you heard this? Talk about pulling the piss.
Yeah.
So you're now allowed to have support. There's a loophole where you can have your support animal with you.
Yeah.
And people, I think so for turning up with peacocks, like that a miniature horse, someone turned up with a miniature horse.
The Shetland pony would be a great one.
Shetland pony. Camel for me, I'd go with.
Yet my support bottle of vodka is not allowed on the flight.
So you're sitting in 13B. This is
not good. Yeah. This is a bad flight. One, you're on your way to Georgia anyway.
As long as it's not in business class, I'm okay with it. You hear an announcement over the loudspeaker, ladies and gentlemen, about to land, lady in 13A, please return your nipples to the upright position.
What I don't get, though, as I have so many questions, is
how many questions do you want?
Well, if I had to think of all the animals that I was going to breastfeed and put my nipple in the mouth of any animal, a cat would be pretty low on the list because they've got pretty sharp teeth. Like,
who would you let honk on?
Oh. Like a fish?
A fish.
Not
probably a llama. A llama have got that.
Yeah, but a cat's not designed for this.
I think it's one of those hairless cats too.
Also, it depends whether the cat's into it or do it. Because I imagine breastfeeding a cat against its will.
The cat's not into it. Of his nine lives, this is not one of his favourites.
It's not a good league.
Does that qualify for Mile High Club status, is that? That'd be a good scene in Top Gun Maverick. Maverick's just as he cut to the cockpit.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's fighting the Russians and then all of a sudden
a cat's head pops up. The fact it's on a plane is interesting, but the fact that this would be happening anyway is bonkers.
Would oxygen masks drop from the ceiling?
Put yours on first before putting on the cat's. You know, do you have to stop breastfeeding your cat during takeoff and landing? You know, is it like that? You got to put your tray back in.
But I don't know.
Support
animal, moose. What about a moose?
I would love to know what's the biggest support animal. Like,
what can you get away with?
You couldn't get an African elephant. You could probably get an Indian elephant on some flights.
Yeah. Pin its ears back. you get an Indian elephant, but get it one of those neck braces.
I'd like to take on a very dangerous animal. You know, it's my support animal.
Rhino, a hippo.
It's one of Escobar's hippos. I'm repatriating it back to the wild.
Anyway, congratulations to this woman.
Delta Airlines, this is not the worst thing that's ever happened on a Delta Airlines flight. It's not even top 10 of the day.
That's usually going on in the cockpit. Here we go. All right.
Oh, I got a cat one.
Oh, good.
This will finish us off nicely.
This will take us out. Yeah. Look forward to getting you tipping us off to any crazy stories.
Oh, we love them. But it doesn't matter when or where. Just send them through. But this one I love. This is the headline again. Family shock as cat they thought they had cremated comes home. There's a family got a huge shock when the pet cat they thought they had cremated turned up alive and well.
Wow.
Frankie, a 16-year-old tabby, went missing from his home in Cheshire on 19th of May. Days later, owner Rachel Fitzsimon saw a similar-looking dead cat on the M6 motorway and gave it to the family to be cremated. So she just went, I think this is your, she just saw a dead cat.
Dead cat.
And went, I think this is yours. The family saw the cat, thought it was their cat. And so they got it cremated.
And they
brought the ashes home in a box. They've totally misidentified.
Yeah, wow.
Which makes you wonder how much they really love this cat.
And now you're thinking, well, where's our cat?
No, but they don't realize.
Oh, they don't know.
They think that's their cat.
Oh, they don't know till their cat comes home.
They get given the body, the family, see it, and go, yeah, that's our cat. Cremate it.
Right. But they don't realize it.
Take the ashes home. Their actual cat walks in one day, and she said, then he came back frail and alive, but so we cremated someone else's cat.
That happened with our grandma.
You mentioned it was someone else's grandma. Yeah, someone saw her on the side of the road. I think that's Mick's grandma.
That's all right. We'll just bury her. What the hell?
The 7-year-old, their son.
How long before the cat came back?
It was about 4 days. In that 4 days, someone said, I think I found your cat dead on the side of the road. They went, that'll do. They thought it was all over. When their son, who was 7, his name was Remy. When the cat arrived, he goes, it's a miracle.
That's not a miracle.
Because they've told him the cat's dead and they've cremated it. Got the ashes. And the cat has arisen.
On the third day.
I'd like to think this actually is. Back. This is the second coming. What? Jesus has come back as a cat.
Come as a cat because he's got more chance of survival.
I just want to know how they miss.
It's a big problem.
They did not know their cat well.
They did not love that cat.
They were in the mindset of, we just want to burn a cat. Any cat will do.
Would the cat that came home be pissy, you reckon?
I reckon it would.
Right, so that's how much I mean to you. Couldn't wait.
So anyway, that cat's all fine.
The cat would be digging up the other cat and leaving that on the doorstep.
Oh, yeah. Let that be a lesson to the rest of you.
Did they ever work out what the other cat was doing?
No, it's just a random cat. So someone's out there, they're still thinking their cat's coming home.
Yeah, in a box. Well, on that note, we will wrap up.
That's a feel-good story.
Send in your letters. Alert us if you can. We just love talking all things animals.
Absolutely.
On Animal Bazaar.